Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Have you ever heard the expression, you only have one opportunity to make a good first impression? That's true. I will tell you that you can't always judge a book by its cover, but the look of that cover may keep me from ever finding out what's in the book. It's just being truth about that, honey. Here are 7 keys to making a godly first impression. Number 1, have fun and recognize every moment as an opportunity. From the time my feet hit the floor in the morning, yours too, until my eyelids close at night, I'm looking to rejoice in every moment and opportunity that God gives me. And by the way, to have fun in the process.
There you go.
My ability to have fun is not determined by the day of the week or even who I'm around. I look for the humor in every situation because of what the scripture says in Proverbs 17:22.
Proverbs 17, verse 22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. The contemporary English version of Proverbs 17, verse 22 says, if you are cheerful, you feel good, and if you are sad, you hurt all over. And the classic Amplified Bible translation says, a happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing. But a broken spirit dries up the bones.
Well, honey, let's see. If we're merry, cheerful, and happy, then we're having fun in whatever we're doing. However, if we're not having fun, then we're sad, hurting all over, with a broken spirit, and sick. We choose
to have fun.
That's right. Number 2, smile. Let the fruit of what's inside you shine through.
Have you ever just read an email telling you to smile if you want to be lazy because it takes fewer muscles to smile than frown? I can recall a half dozen or more different totals on the muscles used to smile or to frown. But regardless, in our research, we found out that the medical opinion on the exact number of muscles to smile or frown is as varied as the number of medically approved diets. However, there is one consensus among the medical authority. It takes less muscles to smile than to frown. Of course, if you're wanting to lose weight in your face, Okay. However, the great, late great Louis Armstrong, who sang, when you're smiling, keep on smiling.
The whole world smiles with you.
Yeah, that's a good rendition, darling.
Here are 7 reasons why you should smile. Number 1. You're uglier when you frown.
Oh, my.
Now, I have no scriptural basis for that reason. Just the opinion of someone who's literally met hundreds of thousands of people in my life. Here's a revelation for us. Even ugly people look better when they smile.
Oh, my goodness. Number 2, God smiles, and so should you. Numbers 6:25. I bet you know about this. Verse 25 in God's Word translation says, the Lord will smile on you and be kind to you.
Number 3, when you smile, the Lord sends blessings your way. Numbers 6:25 and 26 in the New Living Translation. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Wow.
Number 4. Smiling, oh, it says in the scripture, when you smile, mercy comes your way. Psalm 31, verse 16 in God's Word translation. Smile on me, save me with your mercy.
Well, number 5, God is smiling on us when we're learning his word. Psalm 119, 135 in God's Word translation. Smile on me and teach me your laws.
Number 6, You need to know this one. When you're down and out, God can and he will make you smile again. Psalm 43, verse 5. Psalm 43, verse 5 in the Living Bible. Oh, my soul, why be so gloomy and discouraged? Trust in God. I shall again praise him for his wondrous help. He will make me smile again, for he is my God. I like that.
Yeah, that's good. And number 7, when you smile, favor is in your life. Psalm 67:1, Psalm 67:1, New Living Translation. May God be merciful and bless us. May his face shine upon us. Smiling, well, it always creates a good first impression. It is clear from the scripture that God wants us smiling. Okay, back to number 3, dress for success. Rightly or wrongly, we form an opinion of someone by the way they dress long before they open their mouths to speak. Years ago, I remember, yeah, I know you remember this vividly.
Yes.
Interviewing a young woman who scored the highest we'd ever recorded on a typing and 10-key test. I mean, it was off the charts with no errors. That's almost impossible to achieve, but she did. This woman was not only efficient, she was attractive, but I didn't hire her. Simple reason, she was wearing a miniskirt. I knew that the other women in that department saw an attractive woman wearing a miniskirt. When they saw her, she'd never be given a chance to survive. The first impression created by her dress would minimize her effectiveness, so I didn't hire her. Truthfully, honey, I felt bad about the situation, and I know you remember we talked about it that night.
That's right.
So we called the young woman back in and explained the logic behind our decision. She was so appreciative as a single mom with 2 small daughters. This woman became one of the most efficient employees we ever had. To this day, she's a close family friend who often counsels women on how they should look when seeking employment.
And I think she even had a radio program.
That's exactly right. A radio program on it. And, you know, occasionally would reference what happened, you know, between the 3 of us. And yes, she loves God with all her heart. However, the way she dressed almost called her a job.
Number 4, on time. You know, when someone is late, they're sending you a message about themselves. And I'll tell you that it's a message that doesn't convey a good or first godly impression. Being continually late also reflects a lack of planning, a poor attitude, a lack of respect, a lack of organization, a lack of good habits, many, many things. When a person's late, it's either a habitual or character problem. Either way, it is not impressive and can cost you. If a person does not value another person's time, they do not value the person's life, because our time is our life.
So true. So true. That is so true, honey. Number 5, listen. You will impress more people by your ability to listen than the words you speak. Everybody likes to have their opinion asked and valued. If you want to make a good impression, listen for and remember the name of every person you meet. The reason most people have difficulty remembering the names of the people they meet is because their focus is wrong. When the average person meets someone new, they're focusing on how they look, how they're being perceived, and wondering whether or not they're making a good first impression. Just relax. When you meet a new person, call them by name several times during the conversation, either orally or mentally. Repeat their name to yourself as they walk away. If you learn to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, then you'll automatically become a better listener in life. And by the way, there's more to listening than just waiting for your turn to talk.
Good points. Number 6, be enthusiastic about your product. If you don't believe in yourself or the product, no one else ever will. Selling whatever it is, whether it's widgets or the gospel of your character, it's all about transference of feelings. If I can get you to feel about my product the way I feel about my product, you will buy or try my product. If you know how much I love God, then you know what? You'll think, wow, this God is somebody, is really somebody to know. You've got to be knowledgeable about your product. You must be sold on your product. And if you ever want to sell it to anyone else, then that's the transference of that spirit. You have to be enthusiastic about your work, whether it's secular or not. In Ephesians 6, 7, in the New Living Translation, it says, work with enthusiasm as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people.
Honey, that's so true. It really is. Absolutely true. Number 7, don't fake it. Be genuine. The very first moment you meet someone is critically important. When you meet someone, as you shake their hand, they need to feel that at that very moment, they're the most important person in your life, because they are. At the moment you're shaking their hand, you've made a conscious decision to spend that part of your life with them. They need to feel like the importance that you've assigned. They need to feel the importance that we've assigned to that very moment in time.
That's right.
Practice on looking into someone's eyes. This lets that person know how deeply you value that moment. The person that you're meeting or talking with needs to feel the sincerity of your heart. Hallelujah.
Our character as Christians needs to come through in every aspect, whether we're in the grocery store buying groceries, or in the laundry, you know, going through the dry cleaning line, or actually on the floor selling our product, or doing whatever it is that we do. It never stops being who we are, and that the Lord is coming through us.
Yes.
In sincerity.
Yes. Here's a brief review of the seven ways to make a good first impression. Number 1, have fun and recognize every moment as an opportunity. Number 2, smile. Let the fruit of the Spirit shine through you. Number 3, dress for success. Number 4, be on time. Number 5, listen. Number 6, be enthusiastic about your product. And number 7, don't fake it. Be genuine. Be real. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go to HaroldHerring.com. Check out this week's 2-minute video. You've been blessed by the teaching up at the top where it says, sow a seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we'll ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.